Your Bible, if you will. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'll try to be brief. Don't be making fun of me when I say stuff like that. I'll try to be brief. I was brief this morning. I mean, it's funny how when I get through early, people stand around and talk for 30 minutes. I said, I could have preached, huh? 30 minutes. Amen. Romans chapter 3, if you will. I want to talk to you about... We talk about that word grace. We talk about that a lot. I want to talk to you tonight about grace living. Not just being in grace, but living that way. And a lot of people know about the grace of God in salvation. They know all about that. Well, in Romans chapter 3, in verse 24, he says this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, I want to take you a little bit farther than that tonight, okay? Just take you a little bit farther. Not just being saved by grace, but living grace, okay? Now, the definition of grace, as most of you know, is undeserved or unmerited favor. Now, God favored us undeservedly. None of us has ever been good enough or done anything good enough to deserve His favor. And if we got what we deserve, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And so if we got what we deserve and we didn't receive His grace, then we would die and go to a devil's hell. But thank God for His grace. Thank God for His saving grace. And listen, Ephesians 2:8-9 is for by grace that you're saved. Not you, not of works, he said, lest any man should boast. You got nothing to brag about. And we, of course, we got a new church. I mean, it's pretty new, 13 years old for a church. That's young, amen. And of course, we moved out here and we've had a lot of visitors just drop in. We've had people just drop in and I say, who invited you? They said, nobody. Well, all these years we saw three or four cars out here and we saw all these cars. We didn't want to know what's going on. What they really meant was we thought there was a church fight here, so we wanted to come see. Because usually when you have a church fight, everybody shows up, you know. But people would drop in, you know, and people from all kind of backgrounds come here. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of people. Because it's young, it's a new church, newer church to them. And they're not always taught or raised or whatever you want to say like we are as Baptists. And so a lot of them will come here and they'll say, yeah, you're saved by grace through faith. But you got to live it. Well, I've got news for you. You need living grace as well as you need saving grace. Because you'll never live good enough to be saved. All it takes is one sin to cancel it all out. Amen? And before every day's out, I'll guarantee you, you did do something that came short of the glory of God. Now you don't get drunk anymore. Thank God He delivered you from that. Or the drugs. Or the sexual sins. Or the hate. Or the envy. All those things. But somehow, some way, every day, you're going to sin against God. Even though you have a Savior and you are saved. Now, we're not what we used to be. But we're not always what we ought to be. But thank God we're not what we're going to be either. Amen. And that grace is going to make us what we ought to be. Yeah. And it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to learn how to live in the grace of God. And a lot of people never learn it because they don't have people teaching them or leading them that know enough about the Bible to teach or lead them into living grace. They know enough how to give them saving grace, to get them to saving grace, get them saved. They know that much. But then they carry them no farther. So those people carry a burden all their lives wondering, am I really going to be good enough when it comes time to stand before God? Am I going to make it? I told you the other week, we went to a church one time and a young lady, I'm talking about church, saints, stood up at the piano and sang a song. And the whole song was, I hope I make it. And I thought to myself, somebody get that girl a Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13 says, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. I don't have to hope so, think so, even believe so. I know so because I've got the Word of God on my eternal security. You can't lose it. And, of course, people misunderstand the word holiness. They think holiness means you've got to be exactly like God. We had one quote that in Sunday school this morning. It said you be holy. But that is walking in God and letting God be holy through you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's holy. He's the one that's perfect. He's the one that's undefiled. And when you receive Him, He endues you with His holiness. And then you live a separated life trying to be holy. But guess what? If He wasn't in you, you wouldn't even have that. And look, one day we will be complete when we're with Him. But right now we struggle. So we need grace to live by. Amen? And so boy, if you just look up that word grace all through the Bible, there's so many verses on that word grace. And so tonight I want to give you a few biblical references about grace after salvation. After salvation. Now, if you're not saved, you need grace to die by. Because you're not ready to die. If you are saved, you're ready for that. But if you are saved, you need grace to live by. And you're going to go through things in your life that you're going to really need God. And you're going to need to know what He's doing. So let's look, number one, Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Acts 11, verse 23. Now, I know not everybody turns as fast as I do. But if I wait, we'll be here all night, and you'll say, preacher, kept you too long. So I'm going to go ahead and start. Y'all keep looking. And Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Who then, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Did you know that sometimes grace is visible? Now we think of grace not being a thing that you can see, but sometimes it is visible. Look at that verse again. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. You know what that means? He saw it on other people.
Yes.
He saw the grace of God on other people. And whenever he saw the grace of God on other people, he was glad. And then he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That visible grace, when God shows Himself through somebody's life or trial or tribulation or whatever it might be, when God reveals His grace through those people, it will encourage us to live by grace. See? People say, well, you can't see somebody's faith. Oh, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my words, because faith without words is dead. Amen? You can see people's faith because it's in the grace of God on them. I'll tell you how. Go through tragedy with people that are saved, that's received the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You'll see grace. Go through when someone's being attacked verbally or by their reputation or something, and they're being lied on, and they're being attacked. You go with them through that trial, and you'll see the grace of God on somebody. Come on. I'll tell you how to see it. Go with a Christian family as they raise their children. There's many times you'll see the grace of God on that family because those parents don't know what they're doing. If it wasn't for the grace of God, they'd make a mess out of it. And we can all say amen on that, can't we? So grace is visible. You can see grace. You can see it on others. And then you can see it in your own life. Amen?
Oh, yes.
Look where you used to be and look where you are now. Amen. How far God's brought you in the faith, in living, in trusting, in witnessing, in obeying the Word of God. The grace of God did all that. You didn't do that. That's not your nature. That's the grace of God that did that.
Amen.
And then there's another one in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, all right, brother, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commend you to God and to His grace. And that's constructive grace. You know what that grace will do? It builds you up. It's constructive. The grace of God will make you into something you never thought you'd want to, that you'd ever want to be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Growing up, I never knew a preacher. I certainly didn't want to be a preacher. If you'd have told me that, I'd have said you'd lost your mind. You know, we didn't even know Christians, really. And the grace of God constructs us, that undeserved, unmerited favor. He looks down on me and you, and He takes the things that are looked down on by the world, and He lifts them up by His grace, and He takes the people who are despised in the world, believers, humble people, loving, gentle, kind people, and He lifts them up by His grace, and He uses them for His glory, and God gets the glory, and we get built up. Amen. Well, not ever walk around with our head hanging down. Never, 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 never. The grace of God has brought us a long way, buddy.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, even our old friends, all mine are on the other side now, most of them. But they'd say, can't believe that. Can't nobody change that much. Nah, nobody can be like that. He'll be back down here with us. It won't be long. He'll be one of us again. Nobody can change that much. And here we are. We're still going.
Praise
Amen.
Lord.
We're still going. Now, that's God that constructed that, not us. We didn't have strength to do that. God did that whole road. We didn't do that. God, that old song, He's still working on me to do what? To make me what I want to be. He's doing that. He's constructing us as children of God. We constructed our children. We got quiet on that one, didn't we? That's why He says, if we'll raise them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. See, the secret is in the raising. That raising means we're constructing them. We're making them in something. Well, I don't want to make my children do nothing. My mama used to make me go to church. My mama used to shut up. They're trying to construct you into something useful. What would you do if your husband walked in tomorrow and said, I don't want to go to work. My daddy used to make me go to work. Oh, I'm sorry. They do, don't they? Well, if your wife walked in tomorrow and said, I don't want to wash clothes no more because my mama made me wash clothes and I have nightmares and I got phobias over that. So shut up and wash clothes. We all stink. Amen. But God constructs us into something that we were not and makes us into something that He can get glory out of. Now, the grace of God does that. You see, He could just save you and leave you alone. But you never would be happy if He just saved you and left you alone. See, the only way you're going to be happy is to be in the will of God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And let Him construct you. Because see, you wasn't doing too good a job when He found you, was you? Amen. And by the way, next time somebody's trying to tell you how to raise a teenager, look at them and say, how many have you raised? Let's look at them. Amen. We'll get quiet on that one. Raising teenagers is harder than breaking bricks, brother. Amen.
Amen.
But it's constructive grace. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm just trying to teach you the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I know Joel Osteen's prettier than I am. He's got some prettier stories. But they're not going to give you the grace you need, okay? They might draw a big offering. But they're not going to make big Christians. They're going to make little midget Christians. Okay? And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. And if you can't find it, that's fine. It took me a long time to find some of these books. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. You with me? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Did you know that grace can be increasing? I said it. People get saved by the grace of God and they stop. That's it. Yeah. Well, I got saved. Yeah, but why not get some more of that? And I preached on the other week that we ought to be addicted to the ministry. Give me another drink of that. Amen. Give me another shot of some of that. Amen. Amen. I see a lot of people addicted to a lot of things and they never quit on the first hit. Hello. And let me tell you something. If you ever get a little taste of the grace of God, you won't be satisfied. You'll want more and more and more. And boy, you'll seek it. You'll look for it. The preacher won't have to beg you to read the Bible. He won't have to embarrass you to get you to go to church or live right. You'll love it. You'll want more of it. Increasing. And he said that you're increasing, he said. Multiplied, he said, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And then turn over probably just a page to chapter 3, verse 18 there in 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 18. Y'all still with me? I looked out there this morning. I thought, well, I done lost half these people. I might as well sit down. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Now, do you know what that is? That's growing is increasing, ain't it? Growing is increasing. So what we need to do, after we get saved, we don't need to stop then. We need to grow.
Amen.
We used to do children's church, and I can't do it now because I can't get back up if I get down. But we used to squat down, and I'd lead them in singing, and I'd say, read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow. And the kids just loved it, you know. And then I'd sing, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And I can't shrink that far now, so you'd have to help me out. But, amen. I mean, grow in grace. Increase in grace. If all the grace you have is the same that you had when you first got started, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
You ought to be a better Christian.
Yeah.
You ought to be grown some. Amen? Yeah. I mean, poor Bobby Brindle. He's 3'5" 3 foot. I'm going to have to get him back down and preach for us again. He likes y'all. He said, that's some good Yankees. And he lives in Georgia. And he's about that tall. I got a picture of him. He's about that tall. I think he's sitting on that bulletin board. No, he's sitting, me and him sitting side by side. And his little old feet don't even hang off the front of the seat. They just stick out like that right there. That's how long his feet was. And I'm sitting there. And I remember when that picture was took, we took him to the barbecue place, Sonny's Barbecue. And we walked in, and everybody in that place stopped talking. He's walking right here, and I'm walking, you know. And everybody in there, they thought the circus had come to town and the giant was there and the midget was there. And I'm going to tell you, on the inside, that man's 9 foot tall. And that newspaper reporter come to talk to me about him being there. And I told her that. I said, that man's 9 foot tall on the inside. You know why? He's grown in grace. He didn't stay where he was. And a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I need you to help me in this area, and they'll begin to talk, and I begin to see a spiritual midget.
Yeah.
They never got past salvation.
Amen.
Brother, Sister Mary just got saved. That was it. Thank God they got saved. Grace of God is sufficient to be saved. But they've never sought more grace to live by.
Yeah.
They've never tried to get closer to God. They've never tried to learn more about God. They've never sought His presence. They've never sought His power. Sometimes you ought to get off by yourself. Come down here. Go off in the woods somewhere, lock yourself in a room, and just cry out to God, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? Hey, God, I need you, God. I need more of you. And let Him pour His grace out on you. I've had Him pour down on me so much, Brother Ron, I couldn't breathe. I just laid there at the altar and wept and cried and couldn't pray anymore. All I could say was, oh God, Oh God, oh God, and His power and His presence, His grace, just like pouring this thing of water on you. If I poured it on you, just some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. You ought to seek more of God, more of the grace of God. Well, pray that I'm saved. Well, that's a good start, but it's not an end. Amen. Oh, Lord, come in here. I had never seen that man before when we was on John Street. He walked in. He found us on the internet. And I said, you still come? And he came anyway. And he found us on the internet. And he told me he'd gotten right with God. He was seeking God's will in his life. Amen. Hey, he was wanting, for years he went with just enough grace to be saved. Now he wanted more. Amen. He said, I've been listening to these preachers. And he named some I wouldn't listen to, but that's all right. That's what it took to get him. And he said, I heard you on the radio. And he said, I got to find that church. And see, when you want more grace, you'll seek it. Now, you're going to be happy just to be saved. That's fine with me. I'll see you in heaven, but I want to enjoy the trip. Amen. Amen. Increasing grace. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I know people come in here from other churches and stuff, and they visit with us and stuff, and they look at me and they say, that man's gone plumb crazy. He's lost his mind. Amen? And maybe I have. If I have, it's good stuff.
Amen.
Wish everybody get some of that. Give them a dose of grace. That's what they need. Amen? Now, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Did you know such a thing as perfecting grace? I'm not saying you're ever going to be sinless perfect, but I'm saying this, it will mature you and grow you. And did you know without that, there's a lot of things in life you can't handle? There's a lot of things in life you can't handle. Sometimes somebody come to me and say, you hear about old so-and-so that went back to the ball, and I think they just didn't get enough grace. They didn't get close. Oh, you hear about old so-and-so? They done gone off the deep end. And I think, well, they just didn't get drawn out of God. He's drawn out of you. And but he says there, but the God of all grace, who has called us, that's salvation, unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while. See that? God give you grace to suffer.
Yes.
Have you suffered a while, make you perfect. Look at this. Establish. That means like digging a post hole and dropping a post in it.
Yeah.
Establish you, see. Strengthen. And I like this one. Settle you. Now that's the problem with most Christians. They've never got it settled.
Right.
A lot of them haven't got their salvation settled. What they ought to do is look at the old devil and say, devil, if I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because Jesus said He'd save me if I called on Him, and I did, and He can't lie. So you're a liar. Leave me alone. I'm not worried about this anymore. I've got it settled. It's settled. Forever settled in heaven. But that grace, listen, that perfecting grace will settle you. Somebody said, you ever been to Mormon church? No. Don't need to. I'm settled.
Amen.
You ever been over there to Jehovah's Witness, the Watchtower Society? No, no, don't need to. I'm settled.
Amen.
You ever been over there to this church and that church and boy, you ever heard this band and that band and this? No, no, don't have to. I'm settled. I'm not looking for anything else. Amen. I am 100% satisfied in the grace of God that He's given me. And if I want, hey, if I want anything else, I'm going to seek more of Him and His grace. That's what I'm seeking.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm almost through. And boy, is the devil mad. Well, he's happy I'm almost through. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 16. We'll start with verse 14 just so you can get the whole picture. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens,
Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he knows how you feel. Yeah. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you notice a couple words in there? Oh my goodness. He said we got this high priest which knows how we feel. He's been tempted without sin. And then he said, let us, that's anybody, let us come boldly. We don't have to come timid. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the throne of grace means that Jesus sits on that throne and it's undeserved what he's given out. It would be like a judge with a reputation of forgiveness. You need to get that judge. That's the one that'll let you go. Amen? And Jesus is sitting on the throne of grace. He's the only one that has the right and the authority and the power to dispense the grace of God. You go over here, up the road, up here, and this little old guy, he'll get this little thing of water, and he'll go, yeah, yeah, and he'll sprinkle some on you, you know. And he might even pour some on you, I don't know. And he may even lay hands on you. Bully Fogberry said, empty hands on empty heads don't do a stinking thing. And he might sprinkle you, and he might say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amenu, Amenu, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says he's dispensing grace on you. He says he's giving you grace. And he says he has the authority from Rome to do that. Well, there's several things wrong with that. Number one, he ain't sitting on the throne of grace. Number two, his boss is not sitting on the throne of grace. And number three, you'll find that nowhere in the Scripture. If you're going to get the grace of God, you need to go to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the right, the authority, and the power, and he is always available. Always. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now you call that little old guy with his made up holy water, and he might be asleep. What you going to do then? And they believe in alcoholic wine for the Eucharist. He might be drunk. Amen. But you call on the Lord Jesus and he's ever present. And he's looking for your call. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You say, I need more grace, preacher. I'm having a hard time. Well, the number is 777 heaven. Amen. Just call up heaven. Amen. Anytime. He'll answer the call. Now, you call me, you might get an answer machine. Probably will. My phone's usually dead or laying somewhere, and I don't remember where I left it. But you call him, he'll answer the phone every time. Amen. Amen. That's enough to make Pentecost shout. Listen, he is always available to do what? To dispense grace. Now, the day I got saved, March 5th, 1978, I needed grace that day. Undeserved love. And when I called on him, he poured it out on me. He didn't ask me to do anything except call. And then later on, as God called me to go into ministry, I prayed and I pleaded and I argued. And finally I said, well, Lord, whatever you want me to do, not my will but thy will. And he poured grace out on me that day. And the troubled times in my life, the times I was, my family problems, my funerals I preached to brothers and sisters and families, and even my own mother's funeral. And people say, I don't know how you're going to preach her funeral. I said, God, give me grace to do it. And he pours out the grace on you. When you're sick, you call on him. He'll pour out grace on you. When you're young and dried away, you call on him, and he pours out the grace on you. When you lose your job, you call on him. He pours out grace on you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the days. Now, that's undeserved.
You know, the best person in this room is still just a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah. Wait a minute, preacher. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You'll die and go to hell.
You'll never get an answer from God like that. You're going to have to humble yourself.
Amen.
He said, humble yourself before mighty God. And he said, fall on your face and cry out for help. And then he'll hear you.
Sometimes I've seen people over the years walk down the aisle and they just be
nonchalant. And as I come to get saved, when I was a younger preacher, I'd waste my time on them.
I'd try to get them saved. And they'd say a little prayer, and a week later, you couldn't find them with a magnifying glass. The FBI couldn't find them. Never seen them again. I've had people make professions of faith, join the church the same day, and never come back.
Rick's better. I've seen that too. We've seen that since we've been here. Amen. And but see, that's not how you get grace. You have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I need some help, Lord.
And then you know what else you got to do? You got to look for him.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, well, I prayed, nothing ever happened. You wasn't looking. If you'd been looking, God has showed up. Because he can't lie. Don't stop at salvation. You'll miss so much. Don't stop at salvation. Keep going. Keep seeking. Now you're saved. You're going to heaven. Thank God. Hallelujah. Jump a pew. Cut a flip. Do whatever you're going to do. Get baptized. Join the church. Tell everybody you're saved. But don't just stop. There's so much more to the Christian life. I need thee every hour. We just sing that song. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. You need grace every hour. And let me tell you one more thing and I'll quit. You don't know what tomorrow holds.
Amen.
Me and my wife, sometimes we'll go by the hospital, ride by the funeral home, and my wife, there'll be people, you know, and always at the hospital, sometimes at the funeral, and my wife say, thank God for a normal day. Thank God for a normal day. I don't know anybody in there today. I'm not in there today. The people I love are not in there today. Thank God for a normal day, because tomorrow I may need a whole lot of grace.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something else. There will never be a day in your life when you don't need the grace of God.
Let he that thinketh he stand take heed
lest he fall. We know better than anybody else. It's just by the grace of God. We're not pushing a needle in our arm. It's just by the grace of God. You're not sleeping in a cardboard box tonight. It's just by the grace of God. You haven't blown your mind on some kind of chemical or drank yourself to death today. Amen? Thank God for His matchless, marvelous grace. Amen? If you're not saved tonight, why don't you come forward and receive that grace and be saved? If you are saved and you need more grace, it wouldn't help you get at the altar and say, Lord, I publicly just want to let everybody know I need more grace. I'm not done. I need more. Lord, I need some help. Help me, Lord. Give me more grace. All right. Father, thank you for the Word of God.